the Lord a praise today. Hallelujah. I love to hear people sing about him that have been delivered by him. It makes a difference in the atmosphere and the sense and the stirring and the feeling. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible, will you please turn with me for a few moments to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. This is an important verse of Scripture in the Epistle of John. And it is a powerful challenge to us and encouragement to every one of us in this room that have come to know Jesus as our Savior. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have been well equipped to overcome the enemies that you have to face in this fallen world. Let me say this to you this morning about why things happen to all of us, even as Christians. Number one, before we begin this study in the Word of God, you live, and this is not a bad confession, so don't even start it with attitude. Amen. Let's don't get an attitude. You live in a faulty body. You are not glorified in your glorified body yet. Amen. You live in a faulty body. It's going to be changed one day in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen. And you know what's going to happen when the change comes? Amen. The Bible said that we are, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Well, we're just going to thank him. We're just going to stop and thank him for providing. We talked about him as a provider and how he does things supernaturally. I'm counting zeros here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we will get the final count, but we think it's around $5,000 that has been given to the ministry today. And thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Father, we just praise you. We thank you. We've been expecting you to move. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't God a wonderful God? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, you go to our website, you can't buy anything on it. You cannot buy anything. You couldn't buy anything if you were a billionaire at our website, because nothing is for sale. Freely we received, freely we give. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't buy blessings from God except your generosity will bring blessings from God. But it isn't because you purchased them. It's because God just promised to bless generosity. And somebody's going to get a big blessing in here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. It's anonymous here. There's no name here. But we just want to thank you so much today. And God is going to do better than thank you. He's going to bless you. Because he said, give and it shall be given unto you. Shaken together. Good measure. Shaken together. Pressed down and running over. Men shall give unto your bosom. Amen. And there's hundreds of other scriptures in context. Amen. The Lord is able to make all grace abound toward you. The Bible said that you have insufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. That's blessing us to be a blessing. Amen. Giving to us so that we'll have to give to any that are in need. What a wonderful God that we serve today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We want to restore a reputation and an integrity and redefine the real purpose of ministry. Amen. Is to further his kingdom and see the captive set free, Brother Taylor. Amen. That's worth more than all the silver, all the gold, and all of the world. And we're so thankful to the Lord and his faithful people. Praise God. Amen. You live in a faulty body. That's not a bad confession. That's the reality of what happened when Adam sinned. Everyone here is aging. This body is not the body that you're going to have throughout eternity. Because corruptible, that can be corrupted, is going to have to put on incorruption. And mortal is going to have to put on immortality. Can you say amen? Can we agree that our bodies are not immortal and incorruptible yet? This one. Amen. Some people have a problem with that. They get into what I call hyper faith, and it's really not faith at all, because it's burying your head in the sand. The ostrich has a very strange and unique defense system. If he feels threatened, he finds a soft place in the sand and he buries his head in it. And his great big old bulbous body is sticking out. You know, But he thinks if I can't see the problem can't see me. Well, you know, the lion isn't fooled by that if he's very hungry. Amen. We don't bury our head in the sand. That's not how David defeated his giant, by denying his existence. He said, you come at me with sword and spear, but I come against you. Amen. In the name of the Lord God of Israel. Praise the Lord. And he ran toward the giant, not from him. So we need to face the fact, if there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. You live in a faulty body, but you have a covenant with God. Can you say, and there's healing for you, and there's healing for me. James 5:14 is not some Pentecostal pet doctrine. It's as authoritative as James, as John 3:16. Amen. Everybody agrees on John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody agrees on that in Christendom. That's the most preached scripture to see people come to Christ in all of the Bible, is John 3:16. It's true. It's not debatable. It's absolute, and we preach it with absolute authority. But we take other scriptures that we debate over, and we don't proclaim them in the same authority, and they do not produce the same faith. Can you say amen? But when we declare it in the authority in which God gave it when he inspired it to be written, faith comes. I love the way God talks. He doesn't miss words. Religious bodies argue over bits of doctrine, but God is different than that. God speaks plainly. God speaks authoritatively. God speaks clearly. And when he speaks, he stands behind every word that he says. Hallelujah. No wonder faith comes by hearing the word of God, because God doesn't speak like anybody else. When Jesus, as God incarnate, began to teach and to preach and to speak, they that heard him said, never a man spake like this man. For he doesn't speak as the scribes and the Pharisees. He speaks as one having authority. For what manner of man is this? Woo! That even the wind and the waves obey him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. No wonder faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By the way, in that storm, when Jesus walked on that ship in the midst of that storm-tossed sea, where they were in peril of their very life, they thought they might capsize at any minute, he said, peace, be still. We're talking to a dog that was just being too feisty. To the mighty wind and the mighty waves. The wind and the waves obey him. And I think it's really something, the detail in when he did that, because it didn't mean that the wind slowly ceased and the waves slowly calmed down. You know, that the weather changed and through a process of time. No, he spoke with such authority and power that the wind immediately stopped, and the sea didn't have to quit being agitated and slowly calm down. It said, and there was, in the immediate sense, and there was a great calm. Immediately. Nobody ever talked like that. No prophet, no preacher, no teacher. Can you say amen? He doesn't speak like the scribe and the Pharisee, the teachers of religion and the debaters of theology. This man speaks as one having authority. Can you say amen? Back in the book of Psalms, it speaks of our God in the way that he talks. Back in the book of Psalms, it said, let all the world stand in awe of him, because he spoke and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Can you say amen? Let the whole world recognize when God speaks, it is with authority and power. And right here, whew, I love it. There was a youth group back in the 70s, back in that Jesus movement, They were street preachers, and it's hard to do that today. But back then, a crowd would gather out of curiosity, and they were out in the streets of Miami. This youth group turned on for Jesus, and they were wanting to tell them about Jesus. And they had a big brown paper sack. Remember now they ask you paper or plastic, and I think it's just all plastic now. But there was a time that they put your groceries in a paper sack. They had a paper sack. They had it wadded up. And a group of those young people with their long hair and their Jesus sandals and their heart to win others to the Lord. Amen. They gathered around, and they didn't even look at the people going up and down. They just gathered around that paper sack. Amen. Put it down on the ground, started walking around it. Somebody opened it up and looked in it and said, "It's alive." And another one came up and looked in and said, "It is alive. It's alive." And another one came up. You know, it sounded like a drama team, but they didn't know about drama. They just trying to get people curious enough to tell them about Jesus. And another one came up and looked in the bag and said, "It's alive. It's alive. It is alive." By then, the crowd wanted to know what's in the bag. Amen. They started gathering. They're curious. And as soon as enough of them gathered around and showed interest, they reached in the bag and pulled out a Bible. I said, "It's alive." Hallelujah. And begin to quote the scripture for the word of God. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is quick and powerful. Quick means alive. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they begin to preach Jesus from the scripture. And I'm sure they read John 3:16. Hallelujah. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish." And when you speak that in authority, amen, faith comes. How shall they believe upon him of whom they have never heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he go except he be sent? Can you say amen? I'm not just talking about financially enabled. I'm talking about anointed and appointed of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me carefully. Praise the Lord. He said, "I rose up early to Jerusalem and I sent my prophets unto you." Jeremiah walked into the temple in Isaiah chapter 6. He walked Isaiah walked into the temple in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His glory just filled that place." He said, "I saw the seraphim." These are angels that have a peculiar minister in the presence of God himself. Lucifer, light bearer. That's not a bad name, but you'll never rarely find a child named that. Some of them are pretty mean, but they still don't call them that. But it didn't have a negative connotation in the beginning. Lucifer means light bearer. And that's why Paul said, "Oh, by the way, he's called the anointed cherub that ministered right there where the coals of the altar were in the presence of God Almighty." At one time, Satan held that high place in heaven. Some people believe, and some scholars believe, that he even had a very real role in the praise and worship of God that is given by angels. Holy, 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 that he led that. The Bible gives us a clue of this special angel that has now become our archenemy. That pipes were created in him from the beginning. Many scholars talk about the musical ability that he had. But he was an anointed cherub that ministered in the presence of God. That walked up and down where the coals of the altar were, very close to God. And he rebelled. But listen carefully, Isaiah is now in the temple, and he said, "I saw ministering angels. I saw the seraphim. And they had three sets of wings, because they were peculiarly created to minister in the presence of God." And even angels and celestial bodies had to have covering in that kind of presence. With twain, they did cover their face. With twain they did cover their feet, that no part of their celestial body be exposed in the presence of God. Remember, the first thing he told Moses was at the burning bush. What did he tell him? First thing, take off your shoes. You've got to do some act of reverence. You're standing on what kind of ground? Holy ground. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, church has become casual, in many cases carnal. But if he does what he said he would do, and I believe he does, where two or more of you gather in my name, there am I. Not sitting aloof in his heaven, but right here in our midst. Praise God. There am I in the midst of them. Praise God. Hallelujah. That means our praises this morning didn't have to rise past Saturn and Pluto to get into the presence of God in his third heaven. No, he's here to receive our praise. He's here to help us. He's here to save. He's here to heal. He's here to deliver. He's here to set free. Can you say amen? Christ is here today. There am I. Where? In the midst of them. Two people in Cambodia come together this morning. He said, I'm showing up. I'll be no more in the midst of 10,000 than there will of 5. The key is in my name, not in the name of a denomination, not in the name of a great preacher, but in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why we do not preach ourselves. But we preach Christ, hallelujah, and ourself, your servant, for his sake. Praise God. God is here today. And Jeremiah is in this kind of holy place, and the angels are covering themselves, and they're ministering, and they're crying, holy, 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 to a thrice holy God. The two great words of worship in the book of Revelation is holy and worthy. They keep reoccurring because he's holy and he is worthy. Because this holy God has condescended to take on flesh and come down. To send the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, to take on flesh. To be born in a manger and lay as a helpless baby. Listen, the Bible said of him, amen, before Moses was, I am. Not I preexisted, not I was, but I am. When he said I am, it was just like when God said, tell him the I am sent you. Praise God. He thought it not robbery to be called what? Equal with God. That's why they put him on the cross. They couldn't handle it. They didn't see it. They didn't perceive it. They didn't understand it. But make no mistake about it. His name, Emmanuel, gave us the revelation, which means God with us. For in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily expressed, bodily. Praise God. And we beheld him. We saw him. Praise God. Amen. We looked at that angels had to shield themselves. And we look and we see him. We beheld his glory. Those early disciples said, we saw him. We looked in his eyes. We looked in his face. We beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Isaiah is overwhelmed. I think what we need back in worship today is not just a hot praise team that really pours it on. I think we need some holy people that reverence him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People who reverence him. Holy, holy, holy. Praise God. Amen. And worthy, worthy, worthy. Because this holy God took on flesh so he could do what? Take our sins and pay the price for them on the cross. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Not just a potentate empowered by riches and wealth and military power upon this earth, but the King of glory, the King of angels, the King of heaven, the King of creation. Who am I that he would bleed? Worthy, worthy, worthy. Worship comes from that old English word, worth-ship. And it has to do with what you value so much that you give it such worth that it's worthy of worship. And our God is worthy of true worship and true worshipers today. And He is holy. Can you say, man, He's holy. He's holy. And when we reverence His presence, praise God, I believe that He's going to manifest Himself. I said, when we reverence His presence with us, He's going to manifest Himself. Praise God. I believe we're standing on holy ground right now. You know why? Because we're gathered in His name. And He said, I'm not sitting on my throne in heaven. I'm there where they are gathered. Spiritually, I'm here today. Hallelujah. So I reverence Him. This is His word. This is His word. This is His word. Hallelujah. Let all the world stand in awe of Him. For He commanded and it was done. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Let all the world stand in awe of Him. Hallelujah. There was a church at Thessalonica, and it's one of those churches that Paul used to model how it ought to be to all the churches. He commended them. He put them up as a model. And what was happening, because they were going through persecution, but they were standing up under persecution. But it said your love for one another abounds. I mean, you can have all the tongue talking, dancing, shouting, falling out, holy laughter, anything, I'm not questioning manifestations of God. But I'm saying without love, it's sounding brass, tinkling cymbals, a lot of noise without substance. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it profits nothing. It's sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. I am not called to play the drums. You do not want to hear me practice. Amen. But one thing's for sure, the drummer gets attention. That's sounding brass. Everybody looks to see. It draws attention. But without love, it in no way represents God's kingdom nor His king. Can you say amen? But when we truly love with the love of God, amen, then there is credibility given. There is substance to what we hear in church. It's not just another language, praise God. It's something empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said He doesn't just give us power to put ourselves on pedestals of great spirituality. He gives us power to love like Christ loved. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And if every tongue-talking child of God would love like Jesus did, it would be greater witness to the world than 10,000 words in other tongue. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you have love one to another. Can you say, man, it's the great witness. It's the great witness. Spiritual maturity is not who speaks more in tongues or the longest in tongues or the loudest. It's who loves like Jesus loved. Can you say, man? And when we get our act together and God's going to help us, we can't do it ourselves. But the Holy Spirit is here, amen, to give us power to do what? Not just witness for Jesus, but to be witnesses unto Jesus Christ. Amen. Like the Christians that went down and they were called Christians. They didn't claim that name. They didn't put that name upon themselves. But others that observed them said, they're like Jesus. They're Christ-like. They're not just followers of a new religion. See, disciple doesn't, in the biblical sense of being a disciple of Christ, doesn't mean just knowing what your master knows through his teachings. It's becoming what he is. That's why the Bible said to every minister, me included, every minister, not being a lord over God's heritage. You've got a title. You have certain authority, but you can't lord that over God's people. But being what? An example to the flock. We lead by example. Some of you remember Kathy used to come to our church and lead singing years ago. Sister Kathy. She said it so well one Sunday morning. You know, she said, I want to be a bell sheep. I want to be a bell sheep. And I kind of looked into that. What is a bell sheep compared to the other sheep? What is a bell sheep? One that draws attention to itself? Is you got the bell and you clang it? You know, I want to be a bell sheep. No, this is a very humble thing. A bell sheep was one of those sheep that followed the shepherd so closely that he would tie a bell around their neck so the other sheep would hear the bell and they would start following the shepherd because they knew he was on the move because they heard the bell clanging. Because the sheep with the bell, the moment the shepherd stood up and took a step, he didn't have to holler, he didn't have to call, he didn't have to coax, he didn't have to prod. And you know who the bell sheep usually was? Because I used to preach a lot on the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 24. I'm still going to teach on it and preach on it. And I studied shepherds who studied sheep. Philip Keller was a very brainy guy. He was a very intelligent entrepreneur, but he ended up keeping sheep for several years, raising sheep. And he had a peculiar insight into the nature of sheep and their desperate need for a shepherd. But he said if there is a sheep, and a bell sheep is one that follows the shepherd so closely. And actually Paul was presenting himself as a spiritual leader as a bell sheep. Because he said, follow me as I teach you, as I tell you, as I share all that I know with you. I remember one preacher on television, he could never qualify for bell sheep. Because he was someone asked him, why is it that you think you deserve $1 million a year in salary, and Billy Graham doesn't get but a portion of that, one of the greatest evangelists of our day? He said, well, if he don't think he's worth it for his teaching, that's his problem. In other words, I'm so great, and what you hear from my mouth is so wonderful, I deserve all of this lavishness that you lavish upon me. Well, bell sheep is not like that. Paul said, follow me as I follow who? Jesus Christ. His example, his pattern. What did he model to us? The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. Listen, if you got those kind of credentials, there's nobody out there got enough talent, ability, anointing, amen, to rise from that humility. This mind, though, listen, he made of himself, it said, no reputation, but humbled himself and became obedient. Everybody say bell sheep. He became obedient even to the death of the cross. Are you still with me? Oh, listen to what God did to honor that. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name that is named in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. So he said, it's no more I that live. I live. I'm dead, but yet I'm alive. And yet it's no more I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me. He constantly pointed to Jesus. He said, our sufficiency. We're not sufficient as of anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a wonderful model. Amen. Modeling the Christian life. Being an example to the flock. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, it's so beautiful. We serve such a wonderful God. Such a beautiful Savior. Hallelujah. We need people today that are sent. People that have bowed in his presence. Let God sanctify them before they stand behind a sacred desk. risk. You can't get that in. Listen, I'm not against biblical education. I'm for it. But I'm telling you something. You have to have an encounter with the living God. Amen. And without that, you're not qualified to tell anybody anything about Him. Amen. No matter what school you've been to. You need an encounter with the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's life changing to encounter the living God. And when Isaiah, who would become a major prophet and be one of the prophets that God used to give us what all Bible scholars agree is the gospel in the Old Testament, the great Isaiah 53 that talks about a man having his arms and having his wrist and his feet bored through and beaten on something they had never heard of as an instrument of torture in that culture in that time, and that was a cross. But in Isaiah 53, there's a man being nailed to a tree, being chastened, smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted in their opinion. And we know who he is. It's all about Jesus. And Isaiah became that prophet of old that prophesied how God would redeem fallen man and who he would use. This Isaiah said the presence of the seraphim covering themselves, crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And in this lofty view of God, he saw himself at his best as in need of God's sanctifying power. Woe is me, instead of here I am. You're highly qualified, highly anointed one. Here I am. Jesus made of himself no reputation. But didn't God give him one? Hallelujah. God lifted him up. God established him. Listen, it is so wonderful. Here's Isaiah, handpicked by God to go and speak for him. And he said, "Woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell." Listen, in the presence of a holy God, there is no one that will not find a need to repent. Nobody. Not in the presence of a holy God. We can look at our peers and say, "I'm doing better than him and I'm doing better than her, and I don't need to repent of anything. I'm doing better than them and I'm doing better than him." But when you stand face to face with a holy God, you want to be cleansed. You cry out for holiness. You don't run from that message. You embrace it. Can you say, "Man, woe is me, for I'm undone. I identify with the sins of Israel. I'm not perfect. I want to serve God. I'm not perfect. Woe is me." In this kind of presence where angels have to shield themselves, woe is me. Humbling. Humbling before God. Something we need back in ministry is humility. Deep, real, genuine humility. We don't need pompous preachers filled with pride as our example, but humble servants of the Most High God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus taught those guys with such anointing and appointing that he was going to send? They got together at that Last Supper, and Jesus got down on his knees, took a basin and a towel. He pulled their sandals off and started washing their feet. And Peter was so overwhelmed. He was so overwhelmed by that. He said, "You shouldn't be washing my feet. I should be washing your feet." And Jesus said, "If you don't let me do this to you, you have no part in me. You don't understand. You don't get it." Can you say, "Man, if I, your Lord and Master, will bow down and wash your feet. You ought to do this for one another. Can you say amen? Nobody's too big to come out and lay hands on somebody. And minister Jesus' love, His grace, His mercy. Can you say amen? Nobody is too big to condescend to go to a hospital and sit by a bed and pray for somebody. Nobody's too big for that. Nobody's too rich for that. Nobody's too powerful for that. If Jesus did it, we ought to be able to follow Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? Every Bible college in America, the graduates, amen, shouldn't just wear caps and gowns. They should carry basins and towels. Wouldn't that be something? Ministering the word under the anointed is one thing. Ministering Christ is different. I remember I used to go on mission trips to Haiti, and I remember meeting a family, a mother and two daughters, and they had been invited on many mission trips because they sang. So they harmonized so beautifully. Two daughters were teenage girls, one of them 15 and one of them 13, 12 or 13, and the mother. And they were in Haiti with us in an outdoor meeting. There was about 15,000 people, by conservative estimate, came to that meeting. And every one of them walked. We had the only vehicle, big old flatbed truck with side bars on it. We had to hang on to. We had to cross riverbeds. Had to go at the end of the rainy season, or we couldn't even got to where we were in Pion, Haiti. No electricity, generator to run the systems, but this family sang. They just captivated these people when they sang. They sang under the anointing of God, and I remember them singing. And we were near a pretty big hill. They called it a mountain. It might not qualify by our standard of mountain, but it was pretty big, and it was silhouetted against the night sky. And they began to sing, "He's bigger than all of my problems, bigger than all of my trials. He's bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see." And you could just feel faith and praise rising up. And it was just such a wonderful time. But I listened to the testimony of this one daughter, the 15-year-old. An evangelist had invited them to India. He was holding an outdoor meeting. He invited them. They prayed. God gave them the money to go to India. And he was preaching Jesus. And miracles began to occur. And people began to be healed. I remember a man invited me to go to India years ago. He came here and he says, "You must come to India and you must preach for us." And I said, I'm not a known name evangelist. He said, "Oh, it is not your name." "It is not your name that is so important to us in India." He said, "Are you going to preach Jesus if you come?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "That's the name that we will come to hear." Hallelujah. Praise God. It's not your person. It's not your personality. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. I didn't go at that time. God didn't open the door. But if I had went, I wouldn't have introduced myself to them. I would have introduced Him. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. God is so wonderful. This 15-year-old girl, and I've got to hurry and close, but she said, I was on a platform in India, and this man we went with, this evangelist, he was preaching. He was declaring Jesus, and the power of God was falling. People were being healed, and he was laying hands on as many people as he could. And she said, "We were singing. We were just singing unto the Lord." She said, "Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a lady helping a lady through the crowd coming to that platform." And she's saying, and she's looking at me and motioning me, pointing at that lady. The evangelist is over here with this big bunch of people he's praying for, but here comes a lady. She said, I was being distracted. I stopped and I looked and said her eyes were milky white. That she was blind, and her, you know, the blindness affected even the appearance of the eye. And this lady was leading her toward that platform. And she said, "You know," she said, I thought, "Lord, I've got to get his attention. There's someone over here with a need, but there's so many people pressing over here. And by then they had made their way to the platform, and this young lady that was leading this blind woman was pointing at her. She has a need. She has a need. Come pray for her. Come pray for her. And she said, my first thought was, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a preacher. I'm a Christian. I love Christ and I want to bless people, but I'm nobody special. I sing with my mama and my sister the praises of God, but I'm nobody special. Let me tell you something about Christians. You're somebody special. Not because you have some great name established, but because you know a great name that God has exalted. Can you say me? You're somebody special. Glory to God. You're somebody that the devil wishes didn't know who you were. He is trying to keep a secret from the church of the living God. And that is that there is power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ just as much today as there ever was. Wow! Hallelujah! This lady said, my heart broke with compassion. See, that's what we need is not just the anointing and the power, but the love of God. Compassion. The Bible said when Jesus saw them coming out of every quarter, bringing the halt and the lame and the sick, he was moved with compassion and he healed their sick. Hallelujah. He cared about those people. They didn't look like dollar signs to him. They looked like hurting people with great need. Amen. And Jesus said, I'm going to pour this love on them. Amen. That power. See, the love of God is the river by which, the love of God is the riverbed for all of this power to flow. Real revival won't come because we pray for more power, but when we let the love of God begin to flow through us as a channel, we become a conduit for the love of God. We can minister Jesus to people. Hallelujah. So this 15-year-old girl, without any of these titles or anointings in particular, walked over to the platform. And on the way walking to the edge, she said, Lord, please help this woman. Please help her, Jesus. She went over and when she went over and started to stretch out her hand, the other lady took that little 15-year-old girl's hand and put it on the head of the blind woman. And she said, in Jesus' name, with tears running down her cheeks, in Jesus' name, heal this woman. Suddenly, in her native tongue, she began to chatter excitedly. And she looked at the lady that brought her and said, what is she saying? Said, she's praising God. She can see. She can see. She can see. She can see. She's praising who? The evangelist? No, she's praising God, who she knew healed her. And it was done in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name that is above every name. In my name, you will cast out devils. In my name, you will tread on serpents. In my name, you shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Can you say amen? Whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Wow! I believe God is going to raise up, but I believe that, let me say this, and I believe it's prophetic. Time will tell. But I believe it's a prophetic word. I do. I believe the days of the personality preacher, amen, bringing a revival are over. I don't believe God is going to raise up a personality. I believe it's going to come through the church and the body of Christ and Christians where they gather. I believe we're going to come into an understanding of who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. But he heard God say, who shall go for us, and who shall I send? If he had said, here am I, I'll go, he would have disqualified himself from God's appointed and anointed. Was that self-confidence? But he said, here am I, send me. Wow. God spoke, and one of those seraphim went up to the altar in the presence of God, took a live coal from that altar, brought it over. That man that said, I'm not pure enough to preach, he touched his lips with that live coal, and it didn't blister his lips, but it qualified him to speak as the oracle of God. You can tell a man or woman that is standing in the pulpit, amen, showing off their expertise and their Bible training. And you can tell someone that God has sent. There's a difference. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. They don't just talk about Jesus. They elevate Jesus. They lift up Jesus. They give the glory to Jesus. They take none of the glory for themselves. They have the basin and the towel. Not just the coat and the tie. And when they see people hurting, they hurt with them. They minister Jesus, not just healing. Jesus. And it makes all the difference. And God honors it. God's power, the riverbed for all of that power, is the love of God. The love of God. The love of God. The love of God. It's not how much money can I make preaching. How famous can I get preaching. It's how many people can I see saved. How many people can be set free. How many people can be healed and delivered. And God loves you today. And that's why he sins. That's why he sins. That's why he sins. How shall they believe upon him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he go except he be sent. Can you say amen? We need to be appointed of God. We need to be anointed by God. Jesus said, as my Father sent me. How was he sent? Peter said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about showing off the gifts. No, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Even as my Father sent me, Christ said, so send I you. Go and love them. Go and help them. Go and heal them. Go and deliver them. That's what I sent you to do. Hallelujah. Yes, such as I have. Give I thee. You didn't have to give to him. Jesus bought all of that on the cross. Freely you've received. Give it the way you got it. Everything that's ministered in his name was bought and paid for at Calvary. For you know you are not redeemed with corruptible things. This is not, come on, God's kingdom is different from man's economy. You are not redeemed with that can be corrupted and has a corrupting effect on those who go after it. You are not redeemed after the tradition of your fathers with silver and gold. Can you say amen? But with the what? The precious blood. Hallelujah. If you got healed, it's because he bled on that cross with his stripes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can't buy that with all the gold in the world. You know why? Because it ain't for sale. Hallelujah. Oh. Come on, it's not for sale. It's not for sale. How dare we try to package it and sell it as a commodity? It's not for sale at any price. Jesus bought that. Told us to give it away. Say, Brother Bumble, that goes against what my preacher says. You better change preachers. Let God be true and every man be the liar. And I'm talking about that personality. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, amen, the day of merchandising God's people. Oh, Baba, Hasuta da Barosha, Nendadaba Kositia, Mandadabakata, Sandadaba, the day of making merchandise out of God's people. It's coming to a close. Because the needs are so great, only God can meet them. We need God to show up. We need God to manifest Himself. Hallelujah. Amen. There are places that only God can deliver you from. And God is a delivering God. But He wants the glory for it. And He wants His Son loved for what He's done to provide this for us. And He wants His Son to be served. Hallelujah. Because of that love for Him. Praise God. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, thine for? The word of God is clear. It is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. He watches over his word to perform it. Jesus Christ himself in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Can you say, man, my word in the book of Isaiah, he said, it's like the rain and snow that comes down out of heaven and waters the earth and causes it to bring forth and bud. So shall the word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, saith the Lord. It will accomplish the thing that I desire. It will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He sent his word. He healed them and delivered them from all of their destruction. So what is God doing to the nations that are coming to our website, the states all over America? There are people that can't wait to get out of this building, but there are people that can't wait for the radio broadcast too. Amen. Because he's sending his word. There's a Methodist lady up in North Florida, goes to a Methodist church. They start at 12. Our broadcast starts 1, I think. Anyway. She gets out and hurries home to turn on her radio for our Sunday morning service. What a testimony. Why? Because it's the Word of God. That's what's captivating her. She don't know who I am. When I first went on radio, I was a young man, years ago. Foundations for Faith was the name of the broadcast. Live, I went into the studio and made the broadcast, WSOL, down on Kennedy Boulevard. And I would sit in that little studio, and they'd point at me, and the word would start going, praise God, hallelujah, over the airways. Two ladies called in, and back then I guess I was 30-something years old, jet black hair. At one point, I had sideburns like Elvis. I did. But some of you had an afro too, but just don't even go there. Anyway. But I shaved them off when I found out they wasn't as cool as I thought they were. But anyway, they had a perception of me. They had a perception of me. And I'm in my 30s. You know, I've jet black hair. I'm young and youthful and short. Back then, I was short. And so these two ladies called in and said to the station manager, don't tell us what Brother Bimble looks like. We listen to him all the time on Foundation for Faith. Said, let us tell you what we think he looks like. So she's sitting there, the station manager. She knows me, knows my dad. Came one time to sing at our church. And station manager, she's sitting there, said, okay, tell me what you think he looks like. So she said, well, he's about 6'1". That's how I came over the air. I like little Evie Turnquist. She's a little old Scandinavian girl. She used to sing the song, I'm 4'11", but I'm going to heaven, and it makes me feel 10 feet tall. Can you say, man, hallelujah. Little Evie Turnquist, she's still a wonderful Christian lady today. Said he's about 6'1", slender build. I was 212 pounds at my highest, and so I wasn't slender build, and I wasn't 6'1". In fact, if they could stretch me out to 6'1", I wouldn't have had to lose any weight at all. Said he's middle-aged with salt and pepper gray high. Sounds like Romney to me. Can you say? they thought I looked like Romney. That was their perception. But you see, nobody's seen me where the word is going. And if they never see me, that's okay. Because the one I want them to see is Jesus. Hallelujah. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And that's why the name of our broadcast is not Let's Talk About Pastor Venable. Let's talk about the Holy Church of God. Let's talk about the Pentecostal movement. No, let's talk about Jesus. Can you say amen? And God will sponsor that. And God will use that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because that's the name that God has exalted. And there's no other name given to men under heaven by which we must be saved, save the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Lord added to the church daily people that he had already prepared to respond to the message of Christ and him crucified. They that should be what? Church members, so that we can build our base and build our buildings. No, that they might be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not in competition with other churches and other preachers to get people to come here. We're in competition with the destroyer, Apollyon, the one that wants to damn every soul of every man, woman, boy, and girl. We want to plunder hell and populate heaven. Can you say amen? Wow, hallelujah. And I believe heaven's resources are going to be ours, Brother Taylor. If we need a building, God will build it. If we need more radio stations, God will open the door. If we need more anointing, God's got a double portion to pour on us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God's not through yet. He's not done with America. He's not done with the church. And he's not done with this world. Praise God, the door of grace has not slammed shut, but it's open wide. Can you say, man, and whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. Can you say, man, God is so good today. So he didn't send them here, obviously. From the north, south, east, and west. But when they started putting those pins around the globe and all over America, we started looking at the map. And we realized from Africa to come. How many sermons is on that? From 30 years to 40 years of ministry? Over 1,000 available. Close to 1,400 sermons. One, what's in those sermons? Jesus, the Word of God. It's all about him. If I went to heaven tomorrow, it's out there. It's bigger than just me and just us. It's out there. We've got a minister of media here that got it out there. Praise God. So I looked at the map. Africa, they're coming. The South. Antarctica, places in Greenland, Alaska, they're coming. England, France, they're coming. Hallelujah. Zimbabwe, Uganda, they're coming. India, China, they're coming. Tokyo, Japan, they're coming. Praise God. Pakistan, Iran. Little islands in the sea. They got computers and laptops and they're hooked into the World Wide Web and they're coming from the north, south, east, and west. Praise God. Why? Why would God let us be involved in something that great with our little number? Because this is the Father's business. And Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Can you say, man? I want to be about my Father's business. I want to redeem the time because the days are evil. I care about your soul. not your money, your wealth, your pocketbook. We need all the help we can get, as always. But I care about your soul, and you can't buy this. This was bought by a wonderful God that gave his son, and a wonderful son. As we close, the bell sheep wasn't just a natural follower of the shepherd. Usually the bell sheep was the most rebellious sheep in the whole bunch. You bring them into a perimeter at night to keep them from wolves and bears, lions. That sheep, before it became a bell sheep, would jump out of that perimeter and go traipsing through the wilderness in danger of being destroyed, and the shepherd would have to go try to find it before something killed it. Bring it back because he loved it. And then he would put a yoke on it. Looked like a bow tied, you know, a bow, like a bow and arrow. This, not a yoke like an oxen pull, but that kind of a yoke. So when it went to get through, the yoke would stop it. What did Jesus say about that kind of yoke? Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your soul. That tension between you and God will be relieved and his real peace will come. Can you say amen? When you surrender. So he would cast off the yoke. He would rub it until he broke the yoke. Try to go anyway. There's one last thing the shepherd would do, and you ain't going to like this. And all the sheep said, we ain't going to like this. And how you feeling today? Bad. And you say, man, listen. You know what he did? He'd go up to his front leg. Oh! Ah! And then he'd bind it up. He'd break it and then bind it up. Because if he didn't let something happen in that sheep's life, the bear going to get him, the lion going to kill him. And this is love. This is love. This is an act of love. Shepherd could let him go. You're headstrong, stubborn, going out there. Good enough for it. If I find your bones bleaching in the sun, I'll say, I told you so. But he's not that kind of shepherd. And then he would go out. When they went out to pasture, that sheep couldn't walk on that leg that was now mending. The shepherd get under that full-grown sheep. See, when he's carrying the lamb, we all get sentimental. We say, oh, look at that little lamb. That little old lamb, so little, cavalier. But when he's got a full-grown sheep over there, we say, what is that big old sheep doing? The shepherd takes him out, makes him to lay down in green pasture. Time to come back into the place of safety. The shepherd gets under him and picks him up and packs him all the way back to the enclosure at night. He's safe inside. As that limb mends, there's a bond between shepherd and sheep until he says, I need him. I gotta have him. If I don't have nothing else, I gotta have him. And I don't just need him, I love him. He's my Savior. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And now, when the shepherd gets up to move, that sheep's fully mended. He could go any way he wants to, but he don't want to go no way but where the shepherd's going. This is where I'm safe. This is where I'm loved. This is where I'm cared for. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He puts a bell around his neck. Because he knows when I get up, I don't have to call them all. I just have to start walking. That bell sheep going to get right behind me. Hallelujah. And that bell going to start ringing. The rest of them going to come. Can you say amen? Woo! Paul said, ding, 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 ding. Follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Mind be in you. Follow Jesus. Let's become true disciples of Jesus Christ. And let's reverence him here so that he will not just be here, but he will manifest his presence and heal and help and deliver, set free and save, praise God, right in this place. I never did get to 1 John. To be continued. We probably never end a thought. To be continued. I never did. That was the prelude to 1 John. Next week we won't have to have the prelude. We'll just have the preliminary. Can you say amen? God is here today. He loves you today. And in the name of Jesus, there's great victory provided. Amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet today and let's get ready to praise him in this room. You're here today and you don't know the Lord or you've fallen away from him. May I see your hand quickly? Just lift it up and take it down. You don't know Christ or you've fallen away from him. Anyone in this room, anyone in this building today. You either don't know him or you've known him, but you've fallen away. You want to come home today. Is there anyone? Just lift your hand and take it down. All right, we're going to move right along. Amen. Listen, the Holy Spirit's way ahead of me. And this is one of those times that you're either ready for this or you're going to. This is the second question. How many people in this room would like to follow Christ? I'm not asking you to ask for trouble in your life. I'm just telling you, amen, that the greatest servants of God can go back to a time in their life where an event occurred to bring them to a place of humility and a place of obedience and a place of deep, deep devotion to him. Amen? So that they can represent him, not just preach down with a condescending attitude, but can actually represent him to his people and become an example to the flock. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many people want to just follow him more closely? You'd like to follow him more closely because he's holy and he's worthy for what he's done for you. Praise God. I believe God's going to grant that. And as we reverence his presence here and we present our bodies living sacrifices holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service, we're going to see God move in lives and hearts and families, in our city, in this community. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we bring all of this before you right now because we want to be a soul-saving station. We want people to come to know Jesus as their Savior. And I pray, Lord, that you will send the people. Send, add to the church such as should be saved. And let us see this church grow with people that have come to know you as their Savior. And Father, let us be good examples when they come. Hallelujah. That we might say to them, follow us as we follow Jesus Christ today. I make a new commitment to follow him. I make a fresh commitment to follow him whom my soul loveth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you glad for his wonderful saving name today? Let's lift it up in this last song. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God is doing something here. It's special for us. But it's not just for us, but all who will hear.